It's dead language.
Yeah, now, yeah. So it's luckily it's dead now. It preserves the meaning.
When you say learning Pali is a help, that implies that the person is interested in developing understanding of realities.
Mm.
So there are lots of Pali scholars who don't have that interest.
To really understand the meaning, like patipati, see?
Yes. Do we need Pali to understand that, or do we need to understand reality to understand the meaning?
When one knows what pati is and patti is, they can tell us what it means, and it depends on the understanding.
So we need someone to understand the Pali for us, and then it's up to us.
Well, what about people that are, say, very clever at mathematics or computer science or something? They're very busy. They may be interested in Dharma, but they're always thinking about their work and so on, you know, engineers, things like that. Would you advise them, look, Dharma is more important, why don't you cut down on the work a bit? Take a chance in this life and think about
that. When they hear about Dharma, it depends on their accumulation to know what's better.
That's what I wanted to remark when you just now was asking Achan about how to make people understand. I thought maybe you just do your best without being too concerned about the other person.
But when we ask about other people or how to make other people understand, aren't we really asking about how to understand more ourselves?
Yes, that is true, yes.
I think it's just a way of phrasing it, really.
Yeah.
Because if we really understood the answers, there's no problem sharing it. But when we're not quite sure or we have doubts, then we need to hear and consider
more. But is that the purpose of understanding?
To
help the others?
To develop more understanding itself.
And then Panya has condition to help.
Help, exactly.
Yeah. Both. That's also in the sutta.
So that's why I'm saying, you know, when we're so concerned about, oh, how can I help the other, but actually it's developing our own understanding that's the problem.
Different moments.
No, it is better, I think, in that four cases about doing it for yourself as well as for others. That's the best, obviously. But it's not something we do it intentionally. That's just like a description of which is the best. If you do it for your own sake and for the other's sake.
I think that the right intention is to really understand realities. That's all.
As much as we can understand. I mean, if we're being concerned about others,
of understanding then correctly.
At the time when we're concerned about others, at that time we may not know what's.
That is just for their sake.
There's a conceit also, helping others, or I help the others.
Well, sometimes we forget we have the same problems that others have.
To study Dhamma, to develop understanding, is to understand realities. That's all.
Could you go over again about this phrase? I forget exactly what it is. Tipatayi. And you mentioned atta tipatayi for self, loka tipatayi for the world, and dharma adipatayi.
For the sake of dharma.
For the sake of dharma. Could you explain a little more?
Yes, some people would like to be a good person just for oneself, right?
Right.
And the other would like to be good in social opinion, yeah? But for the sake of just Dhamma, not for me or for anyone.
Yes.
Right is right and wrong is wrong. Misunderstanding is misunderstanding. Right understanding is right understanding.
When we brought this up before, I think it was in India, you made some comment like, oh, we're here discussing Dhamma, so we're all here for Dhamma Adipatthaya.
Mm-hmm.
But can't we say it just depends from moment to moment? Sometimes it's for oneself, sometimes for others, sometimes for the sake of Dhamma.
It depends on each individual's accumulation.
Yes. And I think that changes from moment to moment. Is this a Thai phrase or a Pali phrase?
Pali.
Three atipateya. Loka atipateya, atta atipateya, and Dhamma atipateya.
I've got this little quote here. I suppose it was from the Visuddhimagga because it's on the same page as another one when we were talking about Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. And it says that based on Bhavanamaya Panya, in this or that way, which has reached the stage of full concentration, when it mentions based on bhavana maya panya, which has reached the stage of full concentration, does that mean that it must be referring to the Lokuttara Chitta?
Sometimes it started from Sotapattimagga on.
Right.
So different level of bhavana, the Lokiya and the Lokuttara.
Right. So here it's just referring to the Lokuttara bhavana maya.
Some places.
Okay.
Yes. But without the Lokiya, it's impossible to be Lokuttara suddenly.
I have something about the Sangha. Is it suitable about the Sangha?
Yeah.
Because it will help people to have more confidence in the Sangha. If we can separate the bhikkhu personally and his behavior, or we notice things that are not right, and when the bhikkhu has the business of the Sangha or Sangha Kamma. And I would like to know more about the business of the Sangha. I know one, when we had the Sangha Dana, it was the head monk who had to appoint those who could receive the Dana. But then to go Bintabat, can we say it's the business of the Sangha, Sangha Kamma, or is it more about the meetings or the Uposatha?
I think that not only one meaning of Sangha, because actually, or literally, it means a company, right? More than one person.
Yes.
Just one person is not Sangha. Mm-hmm. And this word can be used for anything, like a group of animals.
A community.
Community,
yeah.
Yeah, that is Sangha. And so, when we talk about Sangha Dana, it means that we do not give things to
person.
Yeah. Personal monk, but to the whole community,
yes.
The whole Sangha.
That is clear.
Yeah. And we can see the citta at that moment that is different from wanting to give just directly to this or that person in particular, because it's for all monks in the temple. So the citta is for kusala, not have favorite or favor to a certain monks at all. And when it is Sangha Dana for all monks, no monk can take it, because it has to be divided for all. And I think that there can be a monk who would make judgment given by all the monks, who will be the person who will do that activity to give to a certain person when that thing is not enough, something like that, according to Vinaya. And that is according to Vinaya. And sometimes the number of Sangha in Vinaya and Sutta is just a little bit different, according to the number, 3 or 4. Very slight different. And for Sangha Dana, it means that that person has intention to give things as offering to the Aryan Sangha with respect, not to this particular person. Even it's given to this one. But the person who gives knows that, not just to this one, but for the Aryan monk.
And when the bhikkhu is on the street and we give to the bhikkhu,
it depends on your citta at that moment, whether you have intention to give to that particular one, or you think of the Sangha, the Aryan Sangha.
I see. So when you're giving to an individual monk, it could be Sangha Dana.
When your citta.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
You're thinking he's a representative
of the Aryan Sangha.
Even though he may not be
right
at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what else is included under the business of the Sangha? Other activities?
According to Vinaya, it said that which activity has to be done by how many monks.
So, like Uposatha.
And Upasampatha. Upasampatha.
Ah, yeah.
And Katina.
The Katina. Also.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But is your question about what is livelihood for a monk, right livelihood?
No. My question was to think of the
Sangha
rather. So it would help people to have more confidence in the Sangha and not to have so much aversion when they see, because as a person who is not observing really all the rules or doing things. So it's helpful. I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
To have this separation.
To understand what is the Sangha Kamma.
Yeah. And not only Sangha Dana, but other
Sangha
activities. Otherwise you could say, today the monks are no good or have no confidence anymore in the Sangha. that they have to preserve the teachings, the Sangha.
The
yes.
What do you mean the Sangha? Which Sangha?
Of the
bhikkhus. Aryan Sangha or the...
The bhikkhus also, it's their task. But how? Not all have the right understanding.
I think that Buddha didn't give responsibility to this kind of task to a particular person like bhikkhu or bhikkhuni or upasaka or upasika at all.
No.
You get to the four groups mm-hmm. their responsibility. Yeah.
All four.
But the signs of decay do include when the sangha decays, so is the dharma decaying, so preserving the sangha presumably helps in the preservation of the dharma.
And what decays first? Parent, person, and then the patipatti, and then the teaching, and then the vinaya.
Vinaya last, the last one to disappear. So it's important.
It means that even it's decaying, but still, as long as it's a sign of monk, it's still there for remembrance of the teachings or Buddha himself.
So this task of preserving the teachings is not just the monks.
No, not at all. Before his death, Mara came and asked him to parinibbana because all the group of Buddhist group are very well versed in Dhamma.
All four,
not just one.
In the sutta, it is the duty of the bhikkhu also to preserve the teachings. The duty.
The samuti or the Aryan. Conventional monk or Aryan monk?
If there are Aryan monks.
I wonder, chanting, is it part of the duty of the monks?
Chanting
the Tipitaka?
Do they understand what they chant?
But the process itself has helped it to...
For whom?
Come into written form.
Yes, chanting is for whom? For the person who chants or for
the
others,
chants,
with understanding or without understanding. Instead of chanting, what about understanding reality?
Let's say there were Aryans. They wouldn't know all the teachings. They wouldn't be able to preserve. Mm-hmm. But the process of preservation...
is preserved in books.
Yes, now.
Already. Yeah. Is it not like chanting when you are reading?
Yes.
But before it came... into the form of books
that's
as a result of chanting.
Necessity in the old days to carry on the teachings.
And so it seems that they are doing something that...
And they did understand all the chanted because they were arahatas.
Mm.
But if people today chant without any understanding for themselves and also for the others...
I think they wouldn't even... chant once the understanding goes.
For example, Namo Tassa Bhagavato. Namo Tassa is alright.
Mm-hmm.
Paying homage to the Buddha, this one. Arahato Bhagavato, what is Bhagavato?
Yes, see? You need understanding.
Or Ittipiso Bhagava, Arahang Samma Samputo, even Arahang Samma Samputo. Just the word. If there is no understanding.
So when you say there's no understanding, you mean there's no understanding of the moment or the understanding of the meaning
of the teachings,
of
the realities.
Teachings.
Okay.
Of what the words refer to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this person I have read
and
was
some would say
that they understand.
I know the translation, but
yeah.
It's not just knowing the translation.
Sanya, which we discussed a bit yesterday, you said that Sanya influences how the present moment is perceived. Could you elaborate on
Vedana
that?
Vedana and Sanya.
Vedana and Sanya.
And Sankara Kanda.
And Sankara.
Good. If Vedana is very strong, then the Sanya will be stronger too. The Sanya marks the Vedana, so you remember the extreme moments of happiness or extreme moments of pain.
And that you like a kind of sweet. See?
Yes.
You remember now the feeling, see?
Yes.
And the sanya condition, what? Wanting again, looking for it, go somewhere to get it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why? The other things or the other kind of sweet doesn't have influence like that at all.
Okay, I'm clear on that. But what about sanya influencing how we perceive the realities that we're perceiving now.
What is sanya right now? Atta sanya, nitya sanya, sukha sanya, or anatta sanya, dukkha sanya, anitya sanya. So it influences to have such idea on and on.
Could you explain that more about how that relates to sanya kanda?
Because if there's no memory at all, what would be in one's life?
But what about any sanya in the past, in terms of any anicca sanya or anatta sanya in the past?
What how does that in the past?
That has fallen away in previous moments.
That is not sanya of it. The sanya remembers that it's self, it's permanent, keeps on from life to life.
How does it remember that? What do you mean?
Like now. From moment to moment.
Thinks there's a person
always
lasting.
There, yeah.
So even at the moment of rebirth linking, when it refers to people as being diverse in perception, diverse in sanya, it's referring to the different accumulations of sanya.
That is always sanya, which is permanent.
What do you mean?
Does it fall away now?
No.
No, that's the answer.
It's just always there.
Mm-hmm.
You mean it always seems to be there?
What about when we can't remember something? It's just conventional.
It's there. It's that there. You can't remember, you know when and
it's
what.
It's the accumulation of not being able to remember. This is actually a question that Nina had. I should repeat it when she comes. The rebirth linking perception of humans may be triple-rooted, double-rooted, or rootless. Therefore, they are said to be diverse in perception, sanya.
What do you mean by diverse?
Different. So, we all have different accumulations of sanya.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, some have from birth three roots or some
can
two.
Can we say that the sanya of a dog is the same as sanya of human being?
Right, okay. So just like our sanya accumulations are different.
Can it remember language?
Can it develop wisdom?
Well,
yeah.
So the sanya of a two triple rooted wouldn't be as different as triple rooted and two rooted and one rooted.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. I think of sanya as just so neutral. Like
roots.
It accompanies each
roots.
Moment.
Mm.
So
it, it accompanies, right, understand, it remembers.
And that's referring to a particular bhumi. Because even triple rooted in one bhumi will be different from another bhumi.
For human beings, how many types of sanya by way of roots?
It can be three, yes, three root, two root, or
what?
Or no root.
Or no root.
For two root, can one say it's possible to develop any panya at all, or one can't say?
We cannot say like that. It depends on other
factors
too. Even the person who has three roots, it depends on whether they're skillful in this way but not in the other way.
Skillful in regards to what?
I don't get it.
Accumulation. The other factors, each moment.
Are you referring to Dhamma?
It depends. We cannot say that the person who is so skillful in calculation must be good in Dhamma.
Yeah.
Each has its own accumulation.
So is someone who's good in calculation a sign of having panya as root?
Who knows? Let them understand reality, whether how much they could.
I was confused about the word sanya for rebirth. Why, especially sanya? Why not just citta?
In order to say or to talk about citta, we can use the word sanya.
Yeah. Why is it?
And it will tell citta by saying sanya. By using the word sanya, one knows about citta too.
So can we just replace sanya by the word citta as being the same?
Not being
or
the
is there a special reason why the sanya especially?
When time comes and when it's proper or when it's better to talk about sanya.
And is there a reason why sanya?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
The person with sanya or the person without sanya. There must be citta, always citta.
Yeah. So it has no special meaning.
Yes, when we talk about sanya,
yeah.
then we know that what kind of citta we are talking about.